knock Vader off of Luke's tail. And he says, "You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home." You know, I just sort of got like, yeah.
I plan on asking Stoney about that because I think that those guys have a really incredible relationship and it comes through. And I had Jason on last night and I asked him about it. And those two guys are just phenomenal. And as a matter of fact, Stoney is on the line right now. So, Dan, I bid you adieu while you can go watch the afternoon game that the White Sox are going to play with the Pirates.
Well, I'll listen to this interview first.
It's a good idea. You probably should. That's Dan Bernstein. He's on from 9 until noon. You're listening to WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Steve Stone.
He didn't want to have Harry call him Michael Jackson.
And Lawrence Holmes.
Hey, what's up, Holmes?
Color analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone, joins Lawrence Holmes.
Lawrence, there's something called the arrogance of performance. If you're a performer in whatever it is in your life where you're performing, you have to have the arrogance to perform.
You don't want to use a foreign substance.
No.
So KY jelly made right here in the United States is probably the best thing you can use.
Social media god Steve Stone and Lawrence Holmes, right now on The Score.
Well, what a way to start the show. Lucas Giolito throws a no-hitter last night on the South Side. And we've got the guy that was calling it along with our buddy Jason Benetti. Steve Stone is a Cy Young Award winner. He is a fantastic color analyst for your Chicago White Sox. And he is a Score baseball expert. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park or at alpamonteford.com. Stoney, before we get into the analysis of what happened last night, can you walk me through like your level of joy in seeing Lucas Giolito do what he did?
One of the things last night, and the first thing that I actually tweeted, when I got home and got a little perspective on exactly what happened, I said, the beauty of the game of baseball is you never really know when destiny and history are going to intersect. And last night, Lawrence, was one of those times that you could never see coming. And so when I started the game, it was a game, just a game like so many other games. You had the White Sox ace on the mound. You knew that you have to take advantage of Pittsburgh, and maybe you could make something happen in two games. You know, you're supposed to take the two games, but you don't really know. So you start off, and one of the first things that happens is we have a power surge. The truck just pretty much says, okay, I'm not working anymore. So nobody could see what was going on. When you think about how many people actually saw 9 innings of that game, you have a few people at the ballpark, but very few. You have Jason and I. You have Andy and DJ. You have Hector in Spanish radio. You have a few people that saw it, but very few. And so now we come back, and at that point, we come back, and it's 3-0. Okay, here are the runs. Magically appeared while you were gone. By the way, while you were gone, Sox up 3-0. And then we pretty much were able to tell the tale from there. But even then, it's 3 innings. Lucas was perfect. Everything was going pretty well. He had pretty good stuff. I mean, the changeup was good. He felt good. The fastball was popping. He had very good location. And so now you get to the 4th to 5th, and now you realize that, you know what? Man still got a no-hitter. But you don't really mention it because it's still relatively early in the game. And then as the game built, Jason and I were feeling the same thing. There was a certain amount of tension on each and every pitch. And that feeling just heightened as every pitch, every out, every hitter, every inning rolled by. Until the point in the 7th inning when you thought, you know what, this is pretty late in this game for a no-hitter. And Lucas has really good stuff. And he is working so well once again with James McCann that you start thinking, you know what? This is possible. this is possible. Now, we knew early that he had no-hit stuff, but we've seen that a lot. No-hit stuff and throwing a no-hitter are not part and parcel of one another. And they weren't hitting the ball hard, a couple line drives and things along those lines. There was a great play by the combination of Anderson and Abreu. There were some other really good plays. Probably nothing like the one play that Adam Engel made to end the game, but it was thrilling, and it got more so with each and every moment. So, you know, when you witness something that has only been done 19 times in the history of the Chicago White Sox, and bear in mind, Lawrence, they've been around a long time, 19 times in the history of the White Sox, including last night, you say to yourself, how privileged we both were, Jason and I, to be there. How privileged we were to call it. How privileged we were to see everything come together in that special moment. And then the elation on the field afterward, the look of Lucas Giolito, the embrace by James McCann, everybody milling around. I mean, in this pandemic-fueled baseball season that is unlike anything we've ever seen, social distancing went out the window. The idea of masks went out the window. Everything kind of went out the window in the elation that was a celebration in the middle of the infield. It was absolutely spectacular.
For the White Sox fan that isn't really aware of the struggle that Lucas went through between his 2018 season to his 2019 season, what do you remember about what it was like for him then and the changes that he made going into the 19 season?
I remember whoever was catching him on that night would set up on the outside corner, and Lucas would miss by 3 feet. It's almost inconceivable that a professional pitcher can miss his spot by 3 feet, and he would throw it to the backstop. And I remember he'd get behind, and then somebody would just hit the daylights out of one, and this happened all year long. When you have an ERA over 6, as Lucas did, you have the control he had, which was absolutely ridiculous. You wonder how this guy was ever picked number one. I mean, is there something wrong with his arm? What is it exactly? And you knew he was a wonderful guy. Lucas Giolito is a great, great man. Just charming and likable and, everything you could want in a teammate and a baseball player and, a husband and everything that encompasses Lucas Giolito. But you really wondered, what's he going to do to turn this around? And the irony is that I remember going up and asking somebody in authority, let me talk with him. Because I turned my career around with a set of mental gymnastics, and I believe that I can turn the light on. And, look, it's the way in baseball where a lot of people associated that closely with what's going on don't want anybody, even somebody who works for the ball club, to intercede in a situation like this. But unbeknownst to everybody, Lucas went out and he sought a mental guy. He sought somebody to turn things around mentally. But that wasn't just it. He also completely revamped himself physically. He changed his arm swing. He changed his delivery. He found a repeatable motion where he could look at something, throw it there, and 10 pitches later, still look at something and throw it right there. He changed physically, but the biggest change was the mental approach to each and every pitch. That's why last night when Jason said, what's he thinking? And it was about the sixth inning, and I told him exactly what Lucas said after the game.
Yep.
I said, Jason, he is thinking about nothing else but the pitch he's going to throw. His whole world is the next pitch. Nothing that happened before and nothing that's going to happen later is affecting what he's doing right now. He is breaking the hole down to its simplest parts, and that is pitch by pitch. If you take care of pitch by pitch, if you are mentally prepared to make the next pitch, you will find at the end of the night, and last night it was 101 pitches, you will find at the end of 101 pitches, you win the ball game because you're going to dominate everybody who's going up there against you, because I guarantee one thing, they are not going pitch by pitch against Lucas Giolito. You have to make sure when you go to the mound or you go to the free throw or you go to anything else you're doing, whether it's life or sports, you have to believe that you are more prepared for whatever you're going to do than the guy you're competing against, because you have no control over his ability. You have no control over his preparation. You have no control over does he want it. And if all things are equal, if you and that opponent are equal, if he does two of those three things better than you, you lose. And you can't afford that. So you have to make sure that you prepare better than your opponent. You have to make sure that you want it better than your opponent. You have to make sure that, number one, you know you can do it. And that's really the key to this, is breaking it down to its simplest parts. Lucas is taking it right now to an art form. And when it works to perfection, you see last night, everything coming together, all of his preparation that he put in before the game, all of his mental acuity that he brought to the forefront, everything that he was worked to the best it could possibly work, and it turns into a no-hitter. It was just beautiful.
White Sox analyst Steve Stone joining me here on The Score, and we're talking about Lucas Giolito, him 101 pitches, 74 for strikes, 13 strikeouts, a really incredible no-hitter, and just no-hitter is incredible. You've talked about it on my show for the last couple of weeks. We are in lockstep on this when it comes to the impact of James McCann. I was shocked to hear McCann say last night that in the time that he's caught Giolito, and now we're talking about 30 starts or so, that he's only shaken him off three times. That to me is incredible, and it shows how much these two guys are on the same page.
Well, what happens is it takes the pressure off Lucas, and one of the things I said last night was Lucas has a big advantage, not only last night but every night with James McCann. Because Lucas is so confident that James McCann will be thinking exactly what Lucas is thinking, that he allows James to do all the thinking. If you can take the thinking out of the equation, all you have is the execution. So that takes 50% and sometimes more of what a pitcher does on a nightly basis and just eliminates it. Lucas is not thinking about what pitch is coming or where he's going to throw it. He leaves that to James. James has a pretty good idea about what Lucas is thinking, but even more than that, James has a wonderful idea about what the hitter is thinking. That's the art of catching, Lawrence. If you can understand what that hitter is trying to do to your pitcher, then you can throw the pitch, number one, he either is not looking for, or number two, in a location he doesn't anticipate. James has become a master at that, but especially a master with Lucas. They think alike. It's almost one person sharing the same brain. If Lucas thinks it, James hangs the sign. When James hangs the sign, Lucas throws to where it is because he's throwing every pitch with conviction. The worst thing you can do as a pitcher is make 10 pitches a game without conviction. That opens you up 10 different times to be defeated. When you learn how to do this, when you learn how the mental approach is supposed to be used, you don't allow yourself to open yourself up to be defeated because you have a well-thought-out pitch. If the pitch is well-thought-out, then you're going to be able to execute it. If you don't believe in that pitch, in that place, at that time, you're going to lose because you're going to hang a slider, you're going to get careless with a fastball and miss by 2 inches. Lucas doesn't have that with James. This doesn't mean that every time Lucas is going to win with James behind the plate. It just means that he has a tremendous advantage over that hitter because Lucas in his heart of hearts knows that that hitter has not prepared for Lucas as well as Lucas has prepared for that hitter. And he also knows that he and James together have prepared much more than that hitter has prepared, and it's two against one. And they have the advantage because 2-1, almost without exception, wins. And we saw when it's 2-1, if two think as one, they're hard to beat.
In enjoying the broadcast on NBC Sports Chicago, I had an epiphany. As a viewer, I'm watching this game, and I'm watching Lucas Giolito bear down, and I would probably say about the sixth inning or so. So, you know, Stoney, I go from I'm laying on the couch watching the game, and then you realize that Lucas is dealing, and he starts to sit up. And as someone who enjoys what you and Jason do, I felt like as he got more focused, you even got more focus. And you know that I think that you're the best analyst in the game, but you were so on point. And it was weird because in listening to McCann and Giolito afterwards, hearing them say the stuff that you were saying while the broadcast was going on was just magnificent. And I felt like I was listening to a broadcaster dig back into his days of pitching, and you bared down on the last three innings of that game.
Well, what happens is, you know, you're like I say, Lawrence, you're doing a game, and it moves along, and you're still doing a baseball game like so many other baseball games. And now it moves along a little bit further, and you realize that not only are you doing a game, but quite possibly you could be doing the game. You could be doing the game that Lucas Giolito is going to keep. He's going to keep the video of this game. James McCann will keep the video of this game. You're doing a game that's going to go down as one of the great games ever pitched by a White Sox pitcher. And so having been there, not with the game, I mean, I had some really good games. I never had anything like Lucas had last night. But you start to go pitch by pitch. And so in my own mind, I wasn't calling the game. I was pitching the game. And I knew exactly what Lucas was doing. I knew exactly what he was thinking. I had a pretty good idea what James was thinking because I've had some catchers that I work very well with. But the symbiotic relationship that has developed between James McCann and Lucas Giolito is the refinement of the pitcher-catcher relationship. It's what happens when you have two guys sharing the same brain. Essentially, that's what it is. You have two guys on the same thought process for pitch after pitch, for 101 of them. And when they work, when this game works, it looks like that. The one pitch that Lucas really missed was the last pitch of the ball game. James knew if he could throw that face-high fastball, it was strike three, game over, no hitter. And he gave him the fastball. After making him look really bad on two straight changes, he could have thrown him a straight change again, but in thinking along the lines of a hitter, he thought, okay, well, I'm going to give him a pitch he can't hit because he's going to swing at it because it's the game on the line, it's drama, it's everything else. He's going to give him a face-high fastball and throw it by him, and Lucas missed the pitch, and it was hit awfully hard. All I can think of was one of the great breaks that happened last night happened before the game started. And what was that great break? There was a left-handed starter for Pittsburgh. You didn't think about it at the time, but the left-handed starter for Pittsburgh, one of the great breaks of the game, meant that Adam Engel, not Nomar Mazara, was playing right field. With all due respect to Nomar, he doesn't make that play. Adam Engel does. And the left-handed starter meant that in the key moment of the game, in the moment where the no-hitter was decided on the last pitch that Lucas made a mistake, Adam Engel was in right field to bail him out. And that was a thrill. Jason called it. Jason set it up. Jason was in the moment. And after that ball was caught, from Lucas Giolito's standpoint, they can't get me anymore. This is a no-hitter. This is history. This could very well be, in the beginning of my career, the greatest night I've ever had, the greatest game I will ever pitch. And here it is, and it's done. And it's that moment that you let go, that moment you let go, and you just show pure exhilaration on the part of Lucas and the part of James McCann. It was really something.
I have a great fondness for both you and Jason. You moving aside at the end of that game, I thought was a really powerful moment that lets the viewer understand how much you guys are a team and have a symbiotic relationship. What went into you saying, I'm going to step back and allow Jason to have this call on his own?
That's nothing that you can prepare for, and it's nothing that I thought about. I didn't think about it when Lucas went out for the ninth inning. I didn't think about it after the first out. I didn't think about it really during the second out. I have no idea what prompted that.